Any questions you want to start with?
Yes, I have a question concerning renouncing and repenting on behalf of my forefathers and back until Adam. I have kind of not so much like that I would have like God showing me something concerning my forefathers' iniquities. So I decided just to repent and renounce on all the stuff I just see as maybe sinful patterns in my life or my nowadays or my parents or grandfathers and grandmothers' lives. So I did it kind of in general that I renounced and repented and also identified with the things. So would this be as the same effective as if God would maybe show me something 500 years ago or so, something very specific.
Okay. Well, it's a starting point on anything, but we always start off. We can operate in faith, and in principle, there's nothing wrong in covering the things that you can see naturally, and you can see certain traits or you can see certain things. There's no real problem with engaging that and renouncing those things, standing in identification, no problem with that at all. Obviously, we do want to see if there is any specific things, and if there's anything that is actually out working at the moment. So is there anything that the enemy is doing or has access to or is a hindrance or a blockage right now which we can then specifically deal with? I mean, I quite like, you know, we did the Lie Buster training the other night, and you know, I quite like the sort of approach to, okay, you know, what generation is it? Wait for a number to come into my mind, and then, okay, what was it to do with? And just see, you know, go through that same process. You know, you can go through that lie busting process yourself, and just ask God to show you as you're doing it if anything comes. If nothing comes, then fine. You know, when I went back through each year of my life and I looked to deal with each gateway in my soul, when nothing specific came, I just generally prayed the patterns of things that I'd already recognized, and I built up patterns as I went along. And sometimes God showed me something quite specific and a memory came to mind. But you do have to give yourself the place where you're at rest and you're at peace to be able to hear those things. If you're anxious or trying to find out what it is, then I think it's harder to hear. So being relaxed, and sometimes I think that can be almost like, okay, I'm talking, I want a conversation with Jesus, I'm having an encounter with God. I'm just going to ask him, and I'm just going to relax, and I'm just going to see what comes, and I'm just going to write it down or note it down in my mind, and then I'm not going to be too anxious about it or try too hard. I just want to see what comes. And also, I'm not going to analyze at the time. Now, you know, I think, you know, I encourage people when we do ministry with people in other ways to make lists or to make an invoice or to note things down, and as God shows them, just develop a group of things that God wants to deal with. And so then it's not so pressured if you're put on the spot. But you know, it says in John that, you know, we're his sheep and we can hear his voice, so we have to be open for that. And I would think, you know, if you're struggling to hear the voice of God, or if you're struggling to get the thoughts of God flowing, then actually try dealing with why. ask God, you know, it's a bit of a conundrum because, well, I'm asking God to show me why I can't actually hear. So, but you can start with what you know. The reality is Jesus said, my sheep can hear my voice. So do I feel like a sheep? Do I feel that I'm one of his, in his pasture? Do I feel that he's my shepherd? So, okay, I'm going to start with going back to Psalm 23 and I'm going to develop the Lord is my shepherd. So I'm going to go back to what I know, what the truth that I know is true. I know the foundational thing there. So I'm going to spend some time with him as my shepherd. And then I'm going to ask him, okay, he's my shepherd. Therefore, it says I can hear his voice. So I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to see what flows. You know, again, you know, when we do the Liebuster training issue, it's like the biggest issue would be, well, what if someone can't hear? Well, then that's the biggest lie, because that's a lie. We can hear. So why can't we hear? Have there been occasions in my life where I have been embarrassed or suppressed, or people have, when they did listen to me, they made fun of me, or, you know, or I had an instance maybe where I didn't understand someone and that created a situation where they made fun of me because I didn't understand. Or maybe at school I found it difficult to communicate with somebody and then other children made fun of me. There may be roots like that which go back to why we struggle to hear. And then it may be religious things, you know, in religious traditions where, well, no, you that's not the relationship we've got. So it's finding out what is the root of not being able to hear, and, you know, why is that there? And then we look to deal with it. So then we repent of that, renouncing it. If we bought into that, if there's an accusation about in the court against that, so the enemy, you know, take the enemy into the court and, okay, I want to know why there's a blockage in my hearing or seeing or feeling or embracing. And again, just be open to do it. But it is a catch-22 situation. I'm sort of aware that, you know, if you struggle to hear, going to ask to hear something about why you struggle to hear is difficult. And I think that's when you go back to the basics and then look to engage. Because sometimes we can put ourselves under pressure and we actually are hearing all along. It's just we're not attributing that to hearing. We just might be thinking, well, that's just me thinking that, or that's just an emotional response or whatever. But if we're open, then God will communicate to us in one way or another. And even if it's like, okay, God, let someone else speak to me. Let's get someone else to tell me something if I can't hear, and be open for someone to say something. You know, actually, okay, take me to a scripture. You know, show me something, and God will. He wants to get through to us, so it's finding a way to do it. But hopefully, learning to engage and learning to experience those things, I think, is part of the process. And you know, a lot of this, you know, the enemy does want to rob and he wants to steal from us and stop us enjoying our relationship with God. And if he can block the hearing process and the seeing process and the feeling process, then he will try. And that's where we've got to, you know, stand firm and by faith. I am going to engage by faith, no matter what. If I don't hear, see, feel anything, I'm still going to engage by faith because I know God will respond to faith. You know, I know he will because his word says he will. And if I've got to go back to the foundation, stand on the foundation of the word, then I will. And, you know, then I can start again. Okay, I'm going to start from this place. God can hear me. I know by
faith. But I just deal with everything kind of what comes up. So by faith, yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah. No problem. Okay. Have you got something, Wildtrout?
I have one question today, yeah. I would like to know, do you still do intercession like we used to do it, or do you do everything in heaven now, like in the courts or from your throne and yeah, whatever.
I mean, I would say that's what intercession really is. I think what we used to do is we used to pray. I mean, personally, I mean, I don't even pray like I used to pray. I mean, I pray in tongues a lot. I just talk to God. I find the relational side is basically just I can talk to God all the time. And so I can fellowship, commune with him because he's in me, I'm in him. There's a whole revelatory understanding that it's not something I have to go and do. It's just part of my life. And the same with intercession. Can I stand on behalf of someone else? Because intercession is standing in the gap. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can. I can stand in the gap, and I can do that. But I would do it from the perspective of heaven, because I feel what God is revealing is what we do in heaven is a higher authority than what we can do on the earth. And so by doing it in heaven, then with the revelation that we've got with interaction with the angels, we can dispatch angels to operate in someone's life, to work in someone's circumstances, to go before into circumstances. You know, we can use the courts, which basically is about intercession, when we stand either on behalf of ourselves, or Jesus is our high priest, he intercedes on behalf of us. So he is an intercessor, if you like, and standing as an advocate on behalf of us. But he's invited us to come and stand on behalf of ourselves. And so we can use that court system to do that without any problem, I think. So I would say that a lot of the ways in which we've done things as children, God is inviting us to come as adults. And so eventually, the grace and the anointing that was on those things when we were children is no longer there. And there is responsibility when you become adults. You know, quite often, children, we do a lot of things for our children, and we do things on their behalf, and we do various practical things for them because that's what parents do. But when our children are older, we don't do the same things. We expect them to do those things. You know, it's like, you know, when, you know, if I had one of my children, say they're living away, you know, if they waited for 6 months before they came home and brought 6 months worth of washing with them, you know, I would think that probably would be, you know, not very good, because they can do their washing themselves and they're responsible to do that as they grow older. And there's a lot of things like that where, as children, it was okay to be saying, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? Can you do this for me? Can you do that? And then when you get to the age of responsibility, then God says, well, I've actually told you, you can do that. You have the authority to do that. It's in your remit to be able to do that. And I think a lot of the things where people would be praying, oh, God, will you please heal that person? Well, that's okay as in immaturity. But once we've understood but we have to take the things that he's teaching us to mature. Okay, so he's giving us access to the seven spirits of God. He's giving us access to wisdom. You know, he's giving us access to different realms and things where we would have never dreamed possible years ago. Now, we can still connect up to the realm of the Spirit, and we can still communicate with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can still give us words of knowledge and words of wisdom and distinguishing of spirits, and there are still those spiritual gifts that function. But, you know, I think a lot of that was still, I think, for the immature state, because I think he even talked about, you know, children and different things in that passage in 1 Corinthians. But, you know, he also wants us to embrace, hey, we can see in the spirit. We can actually see what's in the realm. We can practice training our senses to discern what's right and what's wrong. You know, we've got a conscience which is activated by the fear of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and we've got a activated by that conscience gate and our reverence gate. And so there's a sense where our spirit just has to grow and develop and mature to lead and guide and direct our soul and to flow through our body and to manifest around us, to bring the kingdom around our lives and through our lives, and then we get to learn how to administer the kingdom in that way. So, we just don't have prayer meetings like that anymore. You know, we meet before our Sunday meetings and we just pray in tongues and we see what if God wants to say anything to us and that sort of thing. But it's much more about listening to Him and hearing Him than us coming with a shopping list and a whole list. Oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? It's like, well, no, He's told me I can go on a mountain throne and I can declare because I have the creative ability. I've been given an apostolic prophetic voice, so I can make declarations. I can call things into being. You know, God brought the animals before Adam, and He asked Adam to name the animals. He didn't bring them all fully formed. And, you know, and I like to think, you know, those animals came in an almost like, oh, here's a blob of clay. Speak this into a giraffe or whatever. And as Adam created it imaginatively, he created what the shape of those things were. And, you know, God just didn't do it all. He encouraged Adam to be part of the process. And now I believe He wants to call us to be part of the process as well. And, you know, it's a journey and an adventure that we're on in learning how to do these things. You know, but God is looking to manifest sons on the earth. You know, and sons are fully fledged sons who can do the things that sons can do. And that's the things that co-heirs with Jesus. So that's how I would sort of look at intercession and prayer and different things. Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
I thought you would say something like that. Good.
Okay. Anything else?
Kind of about a short thing about the frequencies. So when you are in complete agreement, would you kind of have the idea, or did the Lord show you, is it kind of like 100% agreement with God, or could it be also some like a miracle happen, also a partial agreement, or has it to be 100% is the same frequency? What did the Lord show you there?
Okay. Well, some of when we're looking at frequency and harmony and resonance and that stuff, the closer we get to God, the easier it is to resonate and to harmonize with Him. And the easier it is to come into alignment when you know it's His heart, you know it's His mind, you know it's His will. And the more intimacy that we have, the more confident we can be in coming into agreement. Now, there's so much different levels of understand. And, you know, me saying to God, you know, I love you and I want to serve you and I want to do your will is me coming into agreement. You know, it comes to the desires of my heart. You know, is the desire of my heart to outwork everything that God has destined me to do and who He's called me to be? You know, that's where the starting point comes. It comes about desire. And we just got to be careful that we don't turn everything into a formula. Like, okay, because this is where agreement on earth. I mean, I've heard so many people, oh, we're agreeing on earth, and it will be done for us. You know, and it never does get done for them, because they're not really in agreement with what it really means. They're just saying words. You know, it's like in the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer. Well, that really is not what in the name of Jesus really means. You know, in the name of Jesus means I stand in the name of Jesus. I am representing Jesus. I know I'm representing Jesus. Therefore, I'm in His will. I'm doing things according to His purpose. And I can expect Him to back that up with the full authority of heaven to be able to do it. you know, and, you know, you take that onto another dimension in terms of in the name of Jesus, you know, man's letter, Shim, being in the letter in the middle of Jesus, and we're in the name of him, and because we're included in him, because he's incorporated man in him in that way. And there's all, lots of different progressive revelatory understandings of all those things. But I think, you know, when God speaks, he's looking for obedience, which is the highest level of agreement. And, you know, if we want to understand everything before we obey, then that really isn't the highest level of agreement. And so it's like it's knowing the sound of God's voice, the heart of God behind everything, and so that we flow into acceptance of that and agreement with it. And yeah, there's different understandings now that frequency is light and sound, and the vibration and the wavelength of that light and sound. And so God communicates things not just in words, not just in pictures, but in all the different dimensions of understanding, and beyond those that we currently are operating in, there are more that I believe we will operate in. So, you know, does it need 100% agreement? Well, what does 100% agreement mean? I think it's God looks at our hearts. You know, and there are a lot of people who do things which God wants them to do, but their hearts are coming from the wrong motive. And so you can be 100% right in what you do and 100% wrong in why you're doing it. Because you can be doing it for selfish motives, you could be doing it out of duty, you could be doing it as dead works, as legalism. You know, a lot of religious things are doing right things, they're just doing it out of a wrong motive and a wrong heart. And so God is looking for the desires of our heart to align with the desires of his heart. And that's really what sort of harmony is where those desires align. And then actually we can sometimes even get it wrong and we can make mistakes, but God really doesn't mind, because the desire was there, and the desire to do what his heart was is there, and we may make mistakes in doing it, but God really is looking at our hearts, and that's the key. So some people can do wrong things from a right heart, and it's good from God's perspective because he knows the heart. And he knows that we're learning and we're becoming more mature as we learn about him and who he is and we relate with him. And so, you know, harmony is where several different voices come together to form the music, if you like. And I think God is looking for the different things, heaven and earth, man and God, you know, our spirit and his spirit, our spirit, soul, and body, to come into that harmony, so that it all flows around the desire of God and God's heart, and that's really what he's looking for. And he wants us to get away from the hard and fast, sort of it's only one way and it has to be this way and everything else, into a relationship. In which, in that relationship, we understand more of what his heart is, and then we look to come into agreement and alignment with it. And God takes our heart, and I think that's the key. You know, often people look at the externals and they look at the things on the surface, but God is always looking at the motives of our heart. And he knows when the motives and desires of our heart align with his. You know, and that's the key. And if we're open with him and ask him to show us where we're not in alignment, where we're not in unity, where there's discord rather than harmony, then he'll show us and we become more sensitive to it. You know, that sense where we lose peace. And that's a good indicator that we're not in alignment. There's a sense, oh, I've lost my peace. Why? You know, and actually when we come to make decisions, if there's no peace, then don't decide. You know, don't do anything because you have to. Do something because you're in peace about doing it and because you feel you're aligned with it. And I think that's a you know, an important aspect of our relationship with Him. You know, it shouldn't be based on rules, regulations. It should be based on heart and desire and relationship. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else? No.
Not at the moment, a certain question. I just love to experience more. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just spend some time just engaging with God. I just encourage you to just relax and to just open the eyes of your heart. Just ask God to do that. Father, we just want to pray right now that you will open the eyes of our hearts, that we would be able to engage with you, that we would be able to experience your presence, that you would enable all our senses to be activated so that we can engage with you in a deeper and more intimate way. And I encourage you to start with just picture that whole issue of first love and the first love gate. And, you know, I would just encourage you to think of Jesus knocking on the first love door, and he's just saying, I want to come in and fellowship with you. I want to dine with you. I want to relate to you. And just see the light of his presence behind the door. So you just engage within your own spirit. Just picture the door, the handles on your side. Just open the door and just allow his presence to come through. Now just begin to feel his presence. Feel his love, his acceptance, the affirmation of who you are as his children. Just feel his embrace. Just feel his glorious presence, his arms around you. Just allow him to fill up your spirit. Just engage with him there. And just allow those emotions to connect. Just allow those impressions of and senses of what it's like to be intimate with him, to be close to him. Just allow him to begin to communicate with you in any way. Just enjoy his presence. And we can invite him into the secret place of our heart, into our garden, where we have green pasture and where we have quiet waters. And the Lord is our shepherd. And he makes us lie down in those green pastures. He leads us beside those quiet waters. His desire is that we would engage with him there in the garden of our heart. And again, feel the freedom that you have to skip in that pasture, to explore that garden. And you can lie down in that pasture and relax at the feet of Jesus. And you can feel the desire he has for you, the longing in his heart for you, for intimacy, to know him deeper, to engage with him, and just begin to fellowship just listen and talk to him. He's your shepherd. He loves you. He has peace to impart to your soul. He has joy to impart to your soul. His desire is to restore your soul, to bring you into wholeness, to bring you into that deeper sense of identity of who you are as his children. His desire is for you. But the garden of your heart is your garden. And I want to encourage you to creatively think of an intimate place, of a place you'd like to create within the garden of your heart, the secret place for you and him. That place of beauty, that place of intimacy, of stillness, and place where you can go and you can create that place. Think about creating that place, what it would look like in the garden of your own heart, the place where you go to engage with Jesus, where you go to engage with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. Just look to create that beautiful place within the garden of your own heart. Just be loosed in creativity. Let the eyes of your heart, your imagination form through the power that you've been given to consciously create that place. At any time on this journey of exploration of the presence of God and the places where we can engage with him, you may feel that you want to stay in that place, or you may feel you want to continue the journey. Feel free, because in your heart there is the river of life that's been flowing out of heaven. It's flowing through the gate of first love, and it flows into your heart, bringing with it life. I encourage you to think of that river, quiet waters. Just think of the life that it brings. Now I encourage you just to go and look at the river and step into the river and enjoy the life-giving energy that comes flowing out of heaven, flowing from the very nature of who God is himself as the living one, the one who brings us the breath of life. And just immerse yourself in that life-giving flow. Let it wash over you. Let it cleanse you. Let it flow around you and through you. Just sense its presence. It's flowing out of the life of God in heaven. It's flowing like waterfalls cascading down out of heaven into your heart. And it's wonderful to experience it there. Now I want you to just think that you can follow that river. You can step where that river source is, back into the realm of heaven. And I also encourage you just to step back through the veil into the realm of heaven. Just step through the veil into the river of life in the realm of heaven, that crystal clear river that's flowing in heaven. And just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Breathe in and sense that life that's flowing there. The atmosphere of God's glory. Just sense what's in that river for you. You may see something, you may feel something. Just sense what God has placed within that river for you today. And as you sense that, just place it again within your own heart. Just take it within. Let it work its transforming power within you. Let the revelation of it unfurl around you. And I just encourage you to just let that river just take you along. Let it flow you along to the waterfalls of heaven as they begin to cascade down. And you can stand, think about the waterfall, think about deep, calling out to deep, thinking about the deep things of your spirit, connecting with the deep things in God, the frequencies, the sounds, the colors of the waterfall, the light and the rainbows and the things that are just sparking around. Just stand under that beautiful waterfall of his presence. Let it just cascade over you. Let it cascade through you. Let it touch every fiber of your being. Embrace it. Embrace who God is, that God of peace and joy, as it just flows over you. As it's flowing out of the heart of God, the very nature of who he is, flowing down over you. Now we're just going to go up that waterfall. Just think as you just flow up. There's no weight, there's no gravity. Just think as you flow up that waterfall. You just engage with the river that's flowing there and the pathway that's beside the river and the trees that are beside the river. And I encourage you just to go and begin to walk on that pathway. Begin to feel the impressions of the life that's going as you take each step, of the emotions that are released as you take each step, the colors and the fragrances, the atmosphere that are around you as you walk along that pathway. Ahead of you on that pathway is a bridge. And it's a bridge which takes you deeper into the garden of God in Eden. And Jesus is there on the bridge, and you see him and you walk to him. He embraces you. And he encourages you just to lift all your burdens, all the weight that you've been carrying, all the responsibilities, anything that's been heavy, just hand it over to him. Just cast all your burdens onto him, because he cares for you. He lovingly takes everything you bring to him. Feel the lightness in your spirit. Feel the lightness of burdens removed. And he welcomes you to walk across the bridge and walk into the garden of God's presence. Just feel the peace. Feel the oneness. Feel the Father's heart of welcome into his garden. And just commune with him and fellowship with him there. Deepest desires and longings of your heart, of who you were before you were created, of your destiny from eternity. Just feel connected, feel at one with him, one with his creation, one with your destiny. Feel the desires that he has for you. Just feel them, embrace them. Just let yourself go and be. Here is a place to be. To be you. The real you. The true you. Feel the Father's pleasure as he looks at you. The real you. Feel his affirmation. His wonderful embrace. As you draw deeper and deeper and deeper, your total peace and oneness. You're at rest. One heart, one mind, one spirit joined to the Lord, one with him. Now you just step back out of that realm. And you step back into this realm, bringing with you that sense of wholeness and completeness, that sense of his blessing, sense of his joy. we just communicate here. So, okay. So, how do you feel?
How to come back?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So. Was you able to engage in that?
Yeah, me, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, from beginning to end.
Okay. So, you know, my encouragement would be, you know, you have those experiences for yourself, then you can go back there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can explore there even more, and you can look in the garden of your own heart to cultivate it and to grow it and to transform it, and if there's flowers that you particularly like, then create them and grow them in there, and just it's your garden, and it's your environment that you can create. And you know, in God's garden, we come into His environment, and we enjoy that. But He encourages us in our own environment to be like Him, to bring, be creative. Mm-hmm. And find that secret place of peace and rest. Go back over it. So,
yeah. Yeah, I've done that before. I have created things in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Wow.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it there today, and we'll look up again next week. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.